Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, you. Tom Allen here, sitting in for Chris Evans on the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, Olympic gold medalist Tom Daley dives into his brand new book, Made with Love. Get hooked with 30 knitting and crochet patterns. Presenter and podcaster Nick Grimshaw shares all about his life story so far in his book, Soft Lad. Call the Midwife superstar Jessica Raine tells us about her terrifying new Amazon Prime show, The Devil's Hour. Acting extraordinaire Connor Swindles tells us all about his latest role in the new BBC drama, SAS Rogue Heroes. And best-selling author Dawn O'Porter takes us through her latest novel, Cat Lady. All of that and so much more to come. Our next guest made his name by jumping, and now you might also know him for his jumpers. His new book, Made with Love, is out tomorrow and gives you all you need to know on knitting and crochet. In fact, it will have you hooked. Here for a knit chat is the terrific Tom Daley.
Hello,
Tom. Great hello. To have you here. Now, Olympic diver Tom Daley's debut knitting and crochet book, Made with Love, Get Hooked, is out on tomorrow, 27th of October. It's got 30 knitting and crochet patterns in it. It's a wonderful tome. What made you want to write it?
Oh my gosh, for so many reasons, honestly. I started knitting back in March 2020.
Of course.
I fell in love with it, and I just love knitting. I just can't get enough of
it. Because we saw you doing it, like when you were waiting to do your dive at the Olympics in Tokyo.
It wasn't Tokyo.
What's he doing?
I know. And it's the funny thing was, before I went to the Olympics, I had a meeting with my management team, and I was like, oh my gosh, I would just love to. My dream afterwards, I like, don't think about podcasts and thinking about what TV shows. And I just like, you know what? I just want to be a knitwear designer, sit on a beach with margarita. That's my dream.
I love the idea of knitwear designed via a margarita on a beach.
Exactly. And then after the Olympics, after people saw me knitting, they were like, you know what? There might be something in this. So I started Made with Love. And then I started initially selling kits on buytomdaley.com, which is like the yarn, the needles and the patterns to make it.
Oh, so it's all there?
So it's all there. You just arrive and you can make yourself a jumper or a scarf or something right there and then. And then the idea of the book came about, and I just thought, you know, being able to give people just the patterns as well. And then in a week or so, there's going to be some kits coming too.
Wow, that's brilliant. It's so exciting. It's so holistic. Yeah. And I think in lots of ways as well, what people love about it is it seemed to be like a mindfulness exercise you were doing as much as just a creating something.
The mindfulness thing was the main reason for me doing it. My coach, Jane, before I started, was like, you need to find something where you can sit still and rest and recover, because you're always on the go. You're always doing something.
Of course. So then, well, we all are, aren't we, these days? Social media, everything's so busy.
We just don't take time to just slow down and relax. Mm. So for me, I'm not someone who can just sit in front of a TV and do nothing. And so then my husband, being a filmmaker, said that lots of people on sets knit squares. And I was like, okay, I can give that a go. Why not? So taught myself to knit via YouTube. Mm-hmm. And each project that I made, I tried to learn a new skill, a new stitch or whatever. And then before I knew it, I then learnt to crochet and then learnt to design. And here we are.
Yeah. The birth of a whole new fashion range.
Indeed.
Talking about knitting squares, Mira here on the team. She's been knitting squares. She does squares. And she's worried that's all she'll ever be able to do.
No way.
She can just do squares, but she doesn't know how to join them together. How does she join them together? I suggested sellotape or maybe a stapler.
Honestly, there's so many different seaming techniques. There's invisible seam, there's mattress seaming, there's also just like traditional whip stitch.
So whip stitch.
Who's
that? I thought that was one of those things that's like a biscuit you dip in chocolate.
A whip stitch?
No, that's something else, isn't that? That's a chip stick I'm thinking of.
Isn't that the crisps that look like french fries?
Oh, yes, that's true. That as well, I think. Yeah, you're right.
But matchstick.
Am I thinking of the matchstick?
Matchsticks are those long chocolate sticks.
Maybe I'm thinking of those.
It's quite Christmassy, normally mint or orange flavour.
Oh, I like
those
as well.
They matchmakers?
They are. This.
Gosh, this is like a stream of consciousness game, isn't it? It's like an improv warm-up. Tom, we're just stitching ideas together.
Yes, we are.
Tom, by the way, great piece of jewellery on.
Oh, thank you. It's a bit of
that necklace.
Bit of a frump.
You can see this on social media afterwards. Yeah, it's great. It looks like the diamond from Titanic.
that's exactly what my husband husband said to me this morning.
Did you dive down to the bottom of the ocean to get it for us?
No, he just woke up and he was like, it's been 84 years. And I was like, oh God.
It's very cool though, it's very cool. But Sinead, you have been loving this book because you love a bit of crafting, don't you?
I do, but I'm not, I haven't knitted since I was at school. So I kind of like feel like I
because you went to school
to
in Victorian times,
I really,
of course.
Whenever I talk about my school to anyone here, they're like, what happened? But I have to say, genuinely, the book's gorgeous.
Oh, it really is.
And there are some like designs in here that you would pay a fortune for in the shop.
Yeah.
And if I could knit that myself, I'd feel so much more accomplishment. And you'd keep it forever because you'd be so proud. Right?
Yeah.
There's nothing better than finishing something that you've made yourself and just putting it on for the first time and be like, wow, I made this.
Yeah.
And then it feels even better to, if you were making it for someone else, to give it to someone and they know how much time and effort went into it. It's like,
oh yeah,
it's really special.
Better than that is you're wearing it and someone says, oh my God, where did you get that? And you're like, you can't have one because
I made it. You'll never
have
this.
They're all unique as well, is the thing. Like, even if two people were to make the same thing, it would look slightly different because there are those little imperfections when you make something by hand. So it is nice.
It's made with love. There's love in every stitch.
Then
you're obsessed with the mauve cardigan, aren't you, Sinead?
And also what I love is, like, so each design, it will tell you easy, intermediate, advanced. So you kind of like know where to start off. I'm delighted that this cardigan I want to knit is in the easy level. But I do want to ask, how easy is easy? If someone has never picked up a pair of knitting needles before, what would you say?
So there are also some beginner projects as well, which are like stripping it way back. But there's like, if you have never picked up knitting needles or a crochet hook in your life, you will be able to do some of these projects in this book. And also, if you're a proficient knitter, there are projects in there for you as well. So there's also all the tips and tricks that I've learned along the way. And everything is, whenever it gets to a slightly tricky bit in a pattern and it might be a bit confusing, I also then put the page numbers of where you have to go to find out how to actually complete that step.
It's so thought through. I'm just currently just looking at this dog hat.
Yes. There's stuff for pets in there. Like, honestly, it's one of those things, if you know someone that knits or crochets, I'm telling you, it's a good Christmas gift.
Yes.
It's a good Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely.
And it's also like, one of the things that my husband said to me, he was like, you know what? This book is basically like, if you gave this to a grandma that knits, the grandkids would actually wear the clothes that they make.
Absolutely.
Because we live in an age now when people are a lot more mindful of like not having everything thrown away.
Yeah.
And the idea of having something quality as well.
It's very sustainable.
Tom Daly, thank you so much for coming in. With love. Get hooked with 30 knitting and crochet patterns. Tom Daly, your book is out tomorrow, the 27th. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope it goes wonderfully. Everybody here is obsessed with this book and they're taking up knitting. So thank you very much for being here. Lovely to see you as always.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Okay, be cool, Tom. Be cool because this guest is somebody who knows about presenting on radio.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm very much new to it.
Well, I'm very professional.
You're not announced yet.
Oh, sorry.
Our next guest is the best friend you've never met. That's a good presenter. Tell us
Make it
shush.
Sound like you're not reading it.
Shh, no, it's my bit. From waking us up. Oh, yes, I did read that right. From waking us up to getting us home, his voice has been there for us through it all. Now he's using that voice to tell his story in his debut book, Soft Lad, which hits shelves on Thursday. He's anything but grim and never a bore. It's Nick Grimshaw.
Yay! Great intro, Tom.
Great. The team write it. They get very proud of the writing
really
bit
great,
at the end.
Great work, team.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to us, actually. That
really
means a lot to us here.
Really great writing and reading.
Thank you very much. I'm really trying to do well at that, actually. Can't even speak now. We tried to do a fun news story earlier, and then I couldn't read any of the words, so, you know.
So it's going well.
It's going
really
well.
You guys are
really
funny. I've been listening this morning, and I loved hearing you two together, and I loved what you said about Man City sounding like a gay club.
Well, that's lovely of you to say, because...
And true.
I mean, I've never been to the stadium, but I imagine...
But we have been to Man City. The club.
The club. I imagine it'd be one of those American ones, though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that takes stuff quite seriously.
Yeah, like Miami.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Man City.
Come to Man City. 3-drink minimum. Don't know what any of that means. Now, we've been told we've got to talk about the book.
Yes.
Because otherwise we'll end up talking about everything in between.
Yeah. Woke up this morning and Becca, who works for the lovely book publishers, was like, bring a book. And I was like, Tom's got a book, Sinead's got a book. She went, bring a book. Because she said, I worry that you'll go on the radio and have such a nice time with Sinead and Tom that you forget you've written a book.
Well,
so I have one as a prop, so I remember that's what I've done.
It's a lovely book. Lovely book. Cover.
Looks nice.
We love it. We love it. And everybody's been reading it and absolutely obsessed with it. It's brilliant. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
Oh, good.
Really, really love it. It feels good
because this week's the week that you're hearing back from people and you're getting like the odd text the odd like review, because it's quite weird, you know, going away from the radio, which I was doing every day, and you're getting texting every day and attention constantly, to just go and sit in my lounge on my own and be at one, which I struggled with. The first chapter is just resentment of the book.
But so it's quite, to be honest,
it feels quite nice now that people have, you know, people have read
it's out there. It's starting to get out there, and it's officially released on Thursday.
Yes.
How would you describe it?
Well, I didn't want to do an autobiography, and I didn't want to do, I don't have an attention span, so I wanted to make a book like what I like reading. So I love, you know, like supplements on the weekend.
Yes.
I love flicking for a supplement, like a bit on that.
Oh.
Don't like to like sit and study something for a long time. So I thought, why don't I do that, but the book version. So loads of snapshots of stories of my life.
Wonderful.
So there's some about radio. There's one about radio and about leaving radio, but most of them are sort of all about my formative years and like growing up and my mum and dad. Sinead said it was like, what did you say? A prayer to my parents.
Or something. It's like a love letter.
A love letter.
Yeah, to his parents. It really is.
It's really lovely the way that you talk about your family. Yeah. And I think that really comes, that comes across so much, that you know, you care about them, and they're the root from which you based yourself on.
Yeah, because I've always liked people and always liked noise and music and parties, and it does stem from my mum and dad.
Like
when I was
little,
they'd always have family parties, and my mum used to do girls' night, which gets a mention in the book, which was, and they still do it now, and they've been friends since they were like 11, and now they're knocking on 80's door, they still do girls' night.
Oh,
and I remember as a kid, I was just sort of like mystified by it, because they'd all come around with like their clipping earrings and shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And like they'd smell of like, you know, nice perfume, hairspray.
Yes, strong perfumes. Sometimes I'll walk through a department store and I think it would be like one of those dinner dances my mum and dad
like
used
the
to
mix,
go to.
The mix on the ground floor of a Debenhams is very girls' night. Just every smell.
Oh, lovely. Oh, I wish I was invited to one of those.
Well, we can do that. You can come.
I would love
I'm
that.
I'm having a party on Thursday, and my mum and my aunties are coming, so you can.
Well, I've met your mum. I mean, I was going to talk about this in a minute.
Oh my
but
god! Yeah,
I actually I met Nick and his mum when I was with my mum at Chelsea Flower Show. By the way, we're gay. I don't
know. We spent time with our mums at the Chelsea Flower Show.
And you had your legs under a barbecue, as I remember.
Yeah, I did. So I went to Chelsea Flower Show. My mum had always wanted to go, and I promised my mum that we would go, and she came down, and every time she comes to London, she goes, Nick, I don't want to go to some party. I just want to relax. And I said, no, come on the Sunday. I'm going to go to Chelsea Flower Show on the Monday. And then when she arrived on Sunday, I was like, I totally forgot I've got a DJ at a party tonight. And it was Fashion Week. And my mum came. We DJ'd, stayed out really late, and then both went to Chelsea Flower Show with like a banging hangover.
Brilliant.
Like we were both rough. So when we bumped into you, we had pulled up to like a... It's hard to describe. It was like
a posh barbecue.
It was a posh barbecue invented by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah, that's right. Guy Ritchie was there.
And I think the aim was... Can't relate, because from Oldham. And it was like, you know when you're like on a hunt? And I was like, no. And, you know, you've killed some grouse or something, and you don't want to go all the way back to the house to cook it. You can just have it at this like outdoor kitchen on your estate. And that's what they were selling there.
Yeah.
So we just sat there because it was warm and served wine.
And I think our mums were very interested to talk about it, because they both said that the top of this barbecue type unit would be great for doing your ironing on.
They did. Yeah. And it was a really macho like kitchen. Guy Ritchie's like, it's a man's kitchen, and they were like, oh, lovely for ironing. Lovely for an iron.
What's cozy? I don't think Guy Ritchie even spoke to me.
Is your mum Irene?
Yeah, she's Irene.
So yeah, we had my mum's Eileen, so it was Eileen and Irene.
Aww.
Yeah,
it's quite the day.
Oh, my mum was very excited that you were here today. Oh,
yeah,
she loves Nick.
I bet.
So what a handsome bloke. Oh, he's proper handsome, that Nick Grimshaw.
Always smells lovely.
Thanks, guys. Well done. Well done.
The book smells good too.
It's got one of those like samples that you get in magazines.
Yeah, it smells really nice. Yeah, buy it. Buy it and smell it.
Buy it and smell it. Is it? Yeah, lovely book smell.
Do you know what? When I got it, I opened it up on Instagram. And I filmed it because I thought, oh, it'll make me emotional when I see it for the first time. And all the comments were like, can't believe you didn't smell it.
Everyone was very angry.
Well, everyone on Instagram.
Yeah, but people do things that I find that a bit weird. But I just love the smell of books. It's really smug.
Yeah, it is.
I just love books. I just love. Never have been in a bookshop.
Yeah, it's like the people who say, "I love love."
I love love,
and I love the smell of books.
I'd never have a Kindle.
No, those people would definitely say that.
And don't turn down the corners. Don't ruin the book.
Oh yeah. Don't crack the spine. Be careful with it. Don't put it face down. You'll break it. Just read it, Nick. You're brilliant.
Thank you, guys.
We love you. Thanks for coming in. Real treat,
Tom,
to see you.
Thanks,
enjoy the launch party.
Oh, my God.
Take all of Friday off. It's my advice.
I have. It's already cleared.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Call the Midwife, Doctor Who, Line of Duty, Patrick Melrose. These are just some of the programmes lining our next guest's CV. Her new thriller, The Devil's Hour, will have you watching through your fingers and is out this Friday on Amazon Prime Video via Sky Q, just in time for Halloween. Wowing us time and time again, please welcome Jessica Raine.
Hello.
Oh, Jessica. Great to see you. Great to have you in the studio.
It's good to be here.
It was getting a bit chilly in here, so we've put the heating on, actually, for a little bit. I'm sorry if it's a bit cold.
It's absolutely fine. Yeah? I'm feeling it's pretty good.
Yeah. I think Chris has it very cold. But
very cold, yeah.
I like things to be
change
a little
it
bit...
Change it up.
I like to change it up, make it a bit more sort of soporific in here.
Makes it more autumnal, doesn't it, when you get a bit cosy.
We've been talking a lot about autumn, Jessica. Anyway, we're going to talk to you about your new thriller, The Devil's Hour. All six episodes are available from this Friday, the 28th of October, on Amazon Prime Video via Sky Q. That's how you watch it.
Yeah.
Sinead's watched it. I've watched it. How would you describe it to the listeners here?
I would describe it as a kind of relentless horror mystery.
Mm.
Lucy Chambers, who I play, wakes up at 3:33 a.m. every morning and has done her whole life. And we all know how horrible it is waking up at that time. But she's waking up from a kind of horrific nightmare that she doesn't remember. Just has that awful cold sweat, panic, heart beating, you know, just your average.
Good. Yeah, lovely.
She has an 8-year-old son who is sort of an emotionless blank, so that's not ideal. Mm. And a series of grisly crimes happen around her, but she doesn't know about them, but there's a detective investigating and the only common denominator is her name. And then there's another section of the story, which is Peter Capaldi, who's like the spine of the show, and he's a very sinister presence who's hunting Lucy down as well. It's very difficult to...
Yes, no. It is that, but it's really like intriguing because of that, I think. There's lots going on, so you're kind of like, what? Who's this?
Yeah,
and why are we following this person now?
I can't compare it to anything else because there's like a three-strand genre storyline to it, and that's what really attracted me to it, actually. It's such a page turner, and I can't quite say what it is.
Yeah. And of course we don't want to give any spoilers away, but
I'm terrified. I can't.
I know, it must be difficult. I bet
it's awful,
but I loved how spooky it is. It's really spooky, and the fact that it's sort of set in a modern house, like Lucy lives in this kind of quite modern house.
Yeah,
so quite a nice house, actually. We were saying quite a lot of
was surprised when I walked on set how nice the house was. I was like,
oh, Lucy's doing
big.
All right.
Yeah. Better than I thought she was. It's only her and her son. I was like, this.
A lot of space. A
lot of rooms. Yeah.
A lot of rooms.
And Lucy's a social worker, right?
She's a child protection officer. She's quite high up in her job, so she's got loads of responsibility. Mm. They're clearly paying her.
A lot.
Paying her very well.
Or her husband has helped her out, who she's recently
separated. Yes, I was going to say, is the husband involved in it? Or maybe she's just, I don't know, maybe she's really good with saving. We don't know.
A whole backstory.
We never get that mortgage broker backstory, do we? But maybe in the next series we will get more information on her financial position. But that, I suppose, isn't the main thing. I suppose, in a way, you could say that is the more scary subject at the moment.
Terrifying
subject. But no, it's so spooky. Sinead, you were terrified by the child.
Okay, I mean, any child in a horror like TV show film is scary. This one, Isaac, I mean, like you say, he's emotionless. He's just, all of a sudden, this isn't a spoiler, it's just like a little thing that happens. When she wakes up, he's just staring at her, but he's kind of not awake. He's terrifying.
Yeah.
And I wondered, did he ever try and scare you when the cameras weren't rolling? Because that's what I would do if I was that kid. Mm.
This was his first, this is his debut. So he was a real find. And, you know, we were doing recalls with other kids and it was clear, it was like, oh, that's him. He's absolutely terrible.
Really? Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's amazing, because he's, how old?
Is he was so, 8 when we were filming.
He is so scary.
I know.
So scary.
But he's also a really well-adjusted 8-year-old. So it's almost, that's the weird thing, that he'd just sort of flip out of it and then just be Benji and sort of be totally cool. And then he'd just, like, the curtain would come down and he'd be Isaac again. But what was really useful about having him on set was he'd ask all the questions. He'd be like, what's that guy doing over there? Who's that guy? And I was afraid to ask, because I've been working in the industry for, like, 10 years. I was like, yes, Benji, who is he?
Yes, well, why don't we ask him?
Oh, he's the fire guy? He has to stand in the corner because there's a fire?
He's the director? Okay.
Yeah. He was great, but talking about, you know, I mean, I have a 3-year-old, and my 3-year-old would come in to our bedroom whilst we were filming this with his little sweaty finger and touch my cheek. I mean, it was loving for him, but for me, sinister, and be like, Mummy, it's only me. No. And I'm like, oh, God, filming that and having that happen at the same time. I was just like, I can't.
Because is it scary, like, to do? Is it scary on set?
I have a really bad habit of when I watch scary films or TV, I sort of cry. It's really lame. Just this, you know, single and it kind of happens when I was shooting on this. I just sort of get really scared and then feel the tears come and be like, yeah.
I think that's a natural response.
Is it? I don't know. It's
very strange. I think so. I don't know.
Yeah. And I'd also think back to, I was obsessed with, and still am, derelict buildings. I used to live in East London, and there's one on Hackney Road. It was an old children's hospital over 10 years ago now. And I and my sister managed to ask the security guard if we could have a look around.
Oh.
I know it's weird.
Crazy.
But we went in and it was just, I just sort of love old buildings. So I kind of thought about all of that and those sort of buildings that are pregnant with atmosphere. And
oh, yeah.
I love it.
Well, that's what I say, like, this show is full of those kind of moments, that real sort of tangible kind of sense of atmosphere, I suppose. It's a real scary atmosphere.
I thought you meant this show.
And this is absolutely, I mean, this is horrific.
This studio is terrifying. And I've always sensed there's a ghostly presence here. But is it fun to do horror like this? Because, I mean, I guess you get to be like, you have to be very serious all the time.
Yeah, and I'm not a particularly serious person. but I seem to get roles that, I mean, Lucy really goes through the mill. She's got so much responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
She gets these visions all the way through the series, and she thinks it's just weird deja vu, and she's ignored them her whole life, and then suddenly during the course of this series she starts listening to them, and it turns out that they're not random. Can't say any more than that.
No.
But yeah, and she has a mother who's in a care home, and you assume she has Alzheimer's. And she's played by Barbara Martin. She's fantastic. And she's just like having a conversation with someone sitting over there, but there's no one there. So it's very grounded. It's not sort of bells and whistles spooky. It's kind of, she's just having a chat with someone, and that is almost more eerie because no one is there.
All 6 episodes are available from this Friday, the 28th of October, on Amazon Prime Video via Sky Q. Jessica Raine, you are a wonderful person. I'm so thrilled to have met you.
Oh,
thanks
me too.
For coming
Thank
in
you.
To see us. The Devil's Hour, it's brilliant. You'll love it.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
From designing vintage clothing to writing Sunday Times bestsellers, this next guest is truly awesome. I don't write this still, just so you know. The team write it, and they're very proud of it, so I shouldn't make fun of it. Her latest novel, Cat Lady, is out now, and I have a feline. It's going to be...
Look,
they're young people. They've never been out in the world. They've only seen TikTok. I have a feline it's going to be a big hit. Please put your paws together for the perfect Dawn O'Porter.
Thank you.
No, lovely introduction, and the audience enjoyed it as well. Dawn, your fabulous book, Cat Lady, is out today.
Yes.
It's a wonderful novel about Mia, about a person who is, well, this is my perspective on it, a person who's trying to work out who she is in the world as an individual. Mm-hmm. I mean, how would you describe it?
I would describe it as a woman who Looks like she has her life in order. She has a house, a husband, a stepson, a great dog. A great dog, sorry. This is very early for me.
Oh, you think this is early? We've been here for 2 hours.
A great job. And but she's escaping a life of chaos, which is her past. And so she does these things to keep everything, you know, on check. And bit by bit, over the course of the novel, all those things slip away and she returns to a state of chaos. And as she puts her life back together again, she realises that she was living the life that she was supposed to be living as opposed to the life that she wanted to be living. So, as it says on the book, she lands on her feet, but after a pretty spectacular meltdown.
Yes, which is very dramatic, including an episode in Selfridges. And also a moment on the bus where she tries to hug a stranger.
I know.
And she's having a difficult time because, you know, the world around her is falling apart. And it's really exciting, I think, to explore what society expects of us, because that seems to be a running theme in it.
Yes.
About, like, kind of, actually, what does society expect a person, particularly, like, a lot of pressure on women. So what does society expect a woman to do with her life? And Mia feels like she's actually uncovering what that is for herself.
Exactly. I do think there is even still an expectation on women to, you know, have a partner and have children. Mm. And this is where the whole crazy cat lady stereotype comes from, in the terms of, so a woman who hasn't got those things but has a cat is for some reason crazy.
Yes.
Which I just think is the most bizarre
Yes,
thing.
That's true,
and
isn't
I'm like,
it?
Why is she crazy for having love in her heart and looking after an animal? And yet,
you're
women
right.
have been brandished with this crazy cat lady. There's no such thing as a crazy cat man.
No.
That's just, isn't he sweet for having a cat?
He loves cats. Yeah that's true, isn't it?
It is.
It's true. Yeah, and dogs as well. I mean, I don't know, but the dogs are nice as well.
Dogs are also very nice.
Because I know, just wanted to say that actually. But Mia, the main character, is has a very close bond with her cat Pigeon, who she rather would sort of sleep in the bed with than her own partner.
Yes.
Is that based on any experience you've had?
Well, I love my cat sleeping on the bed with me, and I had a Siamese cat called Lilu before I met my husband Chris. For years, this cat and I were just joined at the hip. We came as a pair. I took her to parties, traveled the world with her. It was ridiculous.
Wonderful.
But I was just totally devoted to this cat. And I met my husband and he stayed the night and we just, you know, chatted all night. And then the next night when he stayed over again, she puked on his side of the bed. And it was the biggest protest puke of all time.
She knew what she was doing.
She knew exactly what she was doing. Mm. She'd never been sick on the bed before. And it was just very deliberately kind of next to his pillow. Anyway, so we discovered this puke and Chris was obviously horrified.
Of course.
So the cat goes out the room. Now, I remember lying there thinking, okay, what if this is something that continues?
Where will this end?
Well, this man who I really like, what if it's serious, but he won't have the cat in the room? So I've held on to that. Luckily, the cat and the husband fell in love with each other and all was well.
Oh, that's
but
good.
But Mia's husband doesn't allow the cat in the bedroom. And so for that reason, they're in separate rooms. So she sleeps in one room with the cat. He sleeps in his room.
It's unconventional.
But I mean, she thinks that's a good solution, but you kind of see how that's chipping away at their marriage a bit.
Yeah. But I just like eccentric people, you know, people who are outside of the norms. And I like the fact that, well, I feel like I'm quite an eccentric person in my ways. And it's nice to know you don't have to be like whatever normal is, but you don't have to be like conforming to
exactly.
anything.
Exactly. I mean, Mia was the most fun to write because I pushed the limits on that.
Yeah.
I said, this is the kind of woman who I don't know if I would necessarily get on with in real life, but she is extraordinary. People don't quite understand her, but I think on the page, she's really fun to read.
Oh, yeah. I think she's wonderful and a very, fun. She seems fun.
She's fun.
And the sort of person, actually, I think I would probably really get on with.
Yeah.
I know she attends, one of the key things she does, rather, is she attends a pet grieving course or class.
A pet bereavement group, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's not pets.
A class. This is how you will bereave your pet.
What are they called? Like group.
It's a module.
It's a module at university. I recommend it. Very intellectual. And I think it's really sweet to see kind of other eccentric people who are quite different coming together in that way. And it feels really positive and really loving towards people who maybe see the world in a different way.
I know. Well, she goes into this pet bereavement group and there's just this kind of very bizarre cast of characters who she wouldn't meet in her ordinary life. And that's really about finding your people and finding your community. And the whole problem with Mia at the start is she's surrounded by people, but they're not the right people. And what this pet bereavement group does for her is it just
it puts her into another world, which she's far more suited to than the world that she's been trying to be a part of for so long.
Does that happen sometimes, doesn't it, in the world? You
it
know,
does.
You find your people. Eventually, you find your people. Dawn, it's been wonderful to chat to you. Thanks so much for coming in. And good luck with all the other interviews. We're glad we got you first. We don't, you know, you'll be so tired later.
But what a lovely start to my day.
Well,
thank
it
you
couldn't
so
be better,
much.
I'm sure. It's the best start to the day, I'm sure. Sinead says it all the time, don't you, Sinead?
I do, yeah. And I mean it.
Do you, though? Cat Lady by Dawn O'Porter is out today. It's absolutely phenomenal. George Ezra's back. Dance all over me. Well, yes, but not on my back. It's quite sore.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
You may know our next guest from the smash hit Sex Education. And it's safe to say his new project is a bit less raunchy. Well, so far. The bit I've seen. He stars in the phenomenal new drama SAS Rogue Heroes, which begins this Sunday on BBC One. Please welcome a chap who's anything but a rogue and definitely our hero. It's Connor Swindles. I can't deny the fact that there's a lot of people who've been very excited to see you in the studio today. Big fans of yours here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This wonderful new show, I've seen the first episode of it, SAS Rogue Heroes. I mean, it's quite a change from Sex Education.
Yeah, it is. It's a very exciting, action-packed show. True story, or true-ish. And it's amazing.
It's about the establishment of the SAS, is that right?
That's right, during the North Africa campaign in World War II.
And you play the part of, what is your character called?
David Sterling.
exactly the sort of thing I should know. Sterling,
yeah.
Who is... A real, really great character, and really, you play him amazingly.
He's sort of unlikable.
Yeah.
He's quite egotistical and self-serving in many ways, but he is interesting. And he was the guy that sort of was the spearhead of the whole movement.
And I mean, it must be fun to play, because I think he's quite... he's almost quite sort of flamboyant in a way.
Yeah, no,
because
he is.
Even though he's kind of this soldier who's quite world-weary, he's jaded by fighting in the war at this point for... 2 years, and his father was a soldier, and I know that much from the first episode. That's all I know.
You're doing great.
Doing great. Thank you very much. Thanks very much. and he's got this kind of world weary attitude about things, and I imagine was that fun to play around with?
Oh God, yeah. I'm so cynical. It was a delight.
Are you?
Yeah, I love it. I love being a cynic.
Really? You're only 26, aren't you?
I know, it's terrible.
What made you so cynical? What happened?
God, tons of childhood trauma.
Oh, great. Let's talk about that.
But no, you're right. He was eccentric, and he was, he was a painter at times in France. And
oh, yeah.
So he, I mean, that's the sort of amazing thing about the Second World War, is that it was people from all different walks of life and different classes all joined together for one thing.
Well, I really love the way it represents the complexity of the war. I think sometimes, particularly for like later generations, to get like a simplified version of it, it doesn't really do it any service, does it? Because I think what we don't realise, well, A, frankly, how horrific it was and how awful it was for the people involved, which was... basically everybody, but also how many different people were involved. And I thought that was very wonderful, the way that this show includes all those different experiences and backgrounds.
Absolutely. It's been an honour to be able to get to step into those shoes and to learn more about that time period. I feel like, especially my generation, are kind of losing interest now in...
Gen Z?
Yeah.
Your pumpkin spice lattes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like you don't even know about the Second World War, isn't it?
No. So it's good. I think it'd be a re-education for a lot of people.
For sure. I mean, like I say, I think it does show some of the complexities of it, and the fact that, I mean, like, obviously there are Indiana Jones films that are set during that time, or there might be, like, if you're like classic films, you might have seen Casablanca, but it doesn't really show the reality of, like, day-to-day where... You know, you've got a group of soldiers there, and there are planes flying overhead bombing them, and they're still having to stand to attention, and they're sort of trying not to shake. I mean, it's a horrific thing to show, but I guess that's the reality of it.
And also, you, as you say that, the show also doesn't take itself too seriously at the same time.
For
it's
sure,
funny and,
yeah.
You know, it's moving, but it's funny, and I think that's a welcome relief right now for people.
Well, I think especially the character you play, Sterling, he is a sort of flamboyant character who is very charismatic, and he's sort of a wild child. And he doesn't care what his senior officers say, which is part of his heroism as well. And you can imagine his sort of swashbucklingness inspiring a group of people to follow him in in quite a wild way.
I suppose he's sort of, or at least I thought, like a young Peter O'Toole with his roguish quality.
Oh, that's nice.
You like that?
Yeah, I like that reference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that. And of course, very, you know, it's in the desert, so yep. Kind of looks like a lot of Peter O'Toole films.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure, for sure. Great soundtrack as well.
Very good soundtrack. Mm. The soundtrack is getting lots of hype.
Is it?
People
buying the CD? People buying the tapes? Yeah.
But yeah, it's great. I don't even know what I can say, really.
Well, you can say whatever you like. It's a safe space. The first episode deals with you jumping out of a plane. Is that something you had to do in real life?
Absolutely not.
Good.
But I did jump from quite a height.
How high?
I think it was 50 foot.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's not too bad. I was afraid.
Yeah.
And we were on... The stunt coordinators had these amazing rigging systems that were sort of like bungees where that you would drop and then they would catch you at the bottom.
Oh, okay.
In that time where you were dropping, they would press record and then it would look like you were jumping out of a plane.
It does look like you're jumping out of a plane. And the idea is that Sterling's never jumped out of a plane before. He has no parachute training.
Yeah.
And so the end of the first episode... Well, no, I won't say what happens at the end of the first episode. But they're all... No, something silly. But yeah, there's a bit of jumping around. And I imagine, what was it like to film those things? Because I always think it looks like it might be fun to recreate a parachute jump, but probably in truth, there's lots of people looking very serious, lots of people shouting things like, turning over,
well,
sound speed.
You are right, but when we were filming in Morocco, we did a lot of them as well, and the weather out there was a beast of its own. There was
what do you mean?
Sandstorms every day at 2 o'clock on the dot for 4 hours. And
4 hours?
We would be filming these parachute scenes, and suddenly your parachute would just lift off the ground, and you would be...
What and what?
Taken up into the air.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's dramatic.
Yeah, or dragged along and...
Dragged along?
I loved it. It was great.
Yeah. Did you love it?
Yeah.
Did you really?
Mm, it was great.
It's exciting.
It's exciting, yeah. It's different from the kind of, you know, mundane life of being in a studio for 12 hours.
Come on. It can't be that mundane. I mean, it's pretty glamorous, right?
Yeah.
yeah, I imagine that must have been exciting. Was it fun working with the rest of the cast? Of course, Alfie Allen, you play opposite two.
Absolutely. He was amazing. I love Alfie so much, and I love everyone in that cast. Jack O'Connell, an actor that I'd looked up to since I was...
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
Know, very young. He's brilliant. And Dominic West as well. What a charmer.
SES Rogue Hero starts Sunday at 9 p.m. on BBC One. All episodes are then available on BBC iPlayer. Or iPlayer, depending on how you say it. And it is a great show. And honestly, Connor, it's an incredible performance. And I think it's going to take you to the next level. Stratospheric, I've no doubt about it. It's an incredible performance. Enjoy it. Watch it. It's amazing. Give it up for the fabulous Connor Swindles. Oh, lovely to have you here.
Thank you very much.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky.
Virgin Radio.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast. Remember to subscribe so that you never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky. For now, toodaloo.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.